Bonner.
Thank you. So I don't know if he introduced himself. This is Bubba Bonner. I'm Sonia Bonner. We're the coordinators over Encounter and are so excited that you all are here. I want to introduce our Encounter Dream Team. So if you are on the Encounter Dream Team, if you'll stand up, I want you guys to look around and see these are your support network. Thank you, thank you. Up in the sound booth, in the back, and then we've got some still serving. Thank you guys so much. You guys can have a seat. I want you to know these team members of ours have been praying and fasting, interceding, and going to battle on your behalf. Every single seat in here has been prayed over, but they have really been seeking the Lord's face and battling for you because they know that through Encounter, and when you come with an open heart, God is going to meet you exactly where you are. So Encounter is an 8-week group curriculum, and it ends in a retreat experience. So every Sunday evening, we'll meet here for 8 weeks. We're going to take 1 week off for spring break, and we'll pick up the following week. You don't have to worry about it. I'll remind you. We'll let you know. So that's what Encounter is basically about. I'll talk about expectations just briefly, and we'll jump into it. One of the expectations for Encounter is for you to attend Encounter, we want you to either be currently enrolled in Starting Point or you have completed Starting Point. Now, I know we've got some amazing people that have come to church for the first time, and we talked to you about Encounter, and you're hungry and you're ready to grow, and that's okay. So we'll help you get set up with Starting Point. If you've not gotten started with Starting Point yet, we'll help you get signed up for that. But we want you currently enrolled or have completed because it sets a good foundation. So you'll understand some of the things that we're talking about in here. So I just briefly talked about the retreat. We have a retreat at the end of the 8 weeks. Do we have any football players in here? I know we've got a lot of any football players previously used to want to know about football, heard about football, seen a football. Okay, everybody's involved in here. So with football, you've got the regular season. And during the regular season, you're working out. You're running the plays. You're playing the games. You're getting prepared for what? The big. What's the end finale? The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. The 8 weeks is the workout. We're working out. We're lifting weights. God is preparing our heart for the grand finale, which is the Encounter Retreat. And so I talk about that right now because I want you to go ahead and have the dates in your calendar. You do not want to go through the 8 weeks and then miss what God has for you at the retreat. We're going to talk to you more each week, just a little bit, share a little bit about what God's done in the hearts of your team that you see and through different participants that have been involved. But the dates for the retreat for this semester, April 25th through the 27th, it starts Thursday. Registration begins at 5 p.m. and will end Saturday at noon, but it's April 25th through the 27th. It's in Crockett. It's only about a 45-minute drive. It's at a beautiful facility. The cost for that, because it's not free for us either, it's $165 per person, $165 per person. And that may seem like nothing to somebody. We may have some big ballers in here, and $165 is a drop in the bucket. And what I say to you is, praise God, bless somebody else, and pay for them to go too. And for everybody else, $165 may seem pretty high. And so we can help you break it out. That would be $16.50 a week starting tonight. That's a couple of Starbucks coffees, and so it's going to be worth it. But you'll see as the Lord continues to work in your heart. If you want to make payments, you can do that tonight. You can pay your table host $16.50 a night, and we'll keep track for you. To attend the retreat, we want you to attend at least 6 nights of Encounter, at least 6 nights of the 8, because there's so much work that the Lord is going to do in your heart. He's tilling the soil. He's getting it ready. So we want to make sure that you attend at least 6 weeks of the 8 weeks. I know some of you guys work out of town, and that's okay. If work prohibits you from coming, talk with your table hosts. We're going to work with you because we want you to attend the retreat. So right now, I'm going to have Whitney Lindsay come up, and we are going to have some fun for a moment.
All right. What I love about Encounter is it doesn't really matter the size. Your table is your hub and your family for the next 8 weeks. And so what we're going to do now is kind of get to know one another, but in a non-threatening way. You're not going to have to, like, stand up and introduce yourself to everybody. But we're going to play a game called Roll to Know. And at your table, your leader has a dice and a piece of paper. You're going to roll the dice. Whatever number you land on, you're going to answer a question, okay? So if you roll a one, you're going to introduce yourself, and you are going to, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why? If you roll a two, if you could eat only one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? If you roll a three, if you won $1 million, what is the first thing you would buy? A four, if you're stranded on a desert or island, what three things would you want to take with you? Five, if you could spend the entire day with one person, who would it be and why? And if you roll a six, if you had one day to live over again, what day would you pick and why? So you're going to get a chance to get to know these people that you're going to be with for the remainder of the semester. So have some fun and roll to know.
We got about one more minute. Uno momento. Okay. I'm sure now that we have played a game and we're all very comfortable with one another. My wife, as she played the game, number five was one that she rolled. And we all know, if I rolled number five, I would have said I would have spent the whole day with my wife. Do y'all remember the sermon we had several months ago where you took your cell phone, they turned the lights down, and they asked questions? Everybody, raise your hand if you remember that. And you had to raise your phone up if you were afraid of this, afraid of clowns, afraid of balancing your checkbook. And so we're sitting there, and I have a flip phone, so I'd have to kind of turn it back on. I really do. But I don't know why you're laughing, but it still works. I talked to her. But what happened is we're sitting there, and she's raising her hand, and I will never forget this. It was burnt into my little heart. It said, afraid of being alone. I said, you going to raise your hand? No. It was sad. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? Oh, you ladies, or all of you, it's sad. Gentlemen, we're in deep trouble. We just keep praying for them. We do appreciate you guys coming. We do appreciate you taking out of your time to come. On a much more serious note, we want you to understand that you're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. The Lord sees us for who we are, but He knows where we need to be. He says, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come to give you life, and that you may have it more abundantly. We understand what the devil's task is. We understand that. Kill, steal, and destroy. We understand that the Lord gives us a life. We're all experiencing it right now. But that second part of that scripture, it has one word in it, and it's the word may. It's the word may. That you may have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Unfortunately, I know there's folks in here because we've been where you are. And you're dragging stuff through life that you have no clue. It's just what it's been for your life. You don't think there's anything different. You don't think there's anything better, or you don't even deserve it. And there's those of you in here that have the opportunity to do great and mighty things, but you're living the life that you've always lived with a mindset of, well, this is good enough. I've served the church enough. And if you're sitting out there with this attitude already that, hey, this probably is a good class for them, for those people, take the next hour and just allow the Lord to shine those lights in those deep crevices in your heart like David did. Lord, show me where I need to improve, where I need to make things better. Be the man or the woman after God's own heart. We're going to get kicked off here. Our first anointed speaker of the evening is Pastor Talia. Let's hear it for Pastor Talia. I can assure you what she is going to say to you does not come from here. It comes from here. Let's hear it once again for Pastor Talia.
That is me. My 5-year-old has started calling me Pastor Talia at the house. To be sarcastic, not out of respect. All right, Pastor Talia, it's great to be here. Welcome to the first night of Encounter. I don't know if you guys are as excited as the leaders, but we are so excited because every single one of us have literally sat exactly where you're sitting. I've been through Encounter five times. And every time I go through it, I come out more free, closer to Jesus than I was before. The Lord has so much more for you guys than what you have right now. That's the greatest part about Encounter, is that it removes the obstacles that the enemy puts in the way, sometimes through other people, but a lot of times inside of our own selves, that keep us from reaching that place where we are really, truthfully, authentically connected to God. I love that scripture where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you're the branches." Jesus refers to us in John 15 with this connection. This very important connection. But a lot of us go through life and things happen that get us disconnected from the Lord. We still believe in him, don't we? We still believe he's real, but things just aren't quite the same. And what I love about Encounter is Encounter is very unique, unlike any other ministry of Timber Creek Church, because of its function and its goal, is to strategically pinpoint, through the Holy Spirit's help, and help remove any obstacles, all obstacles, so that we're truly walking in the freedom Jesus Christ died to give us. I love that scripture in John 10:10. I love it, and I preach on it a lot. Because Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, life in all of its fullness." And after 21 years of ministry, I see a lot of Christians living for Jesus with about a fourth of his fullness. And that wrecks me on the inside, because I know there's more. I know there's more, and I've seen more. And so our heart for you in Encounter is that by the end of this process, everyone say process, because that's what it is. It's not just an experience. So if you don't encounter God in some big, powerful way tonight, don't walk away thinking that this isn't going to work for you, because it's the process that works. It's the process that's powerful. It's not just one night's teaching. And on that note, because the process is so strategically built here through Encounter, every night you miss is a very important night that you're now going to need to make up. In fact, we really encourage you, try not to. It's only 8 weeks. Don't you like that? It's only 8 weeks. 8 weeks, but we're challenging you guys for 100% participation in that. What one thing I love so much about God is one of my favorite names of God. I'll say that. You know, there's lots of names of God. That'd be a cool Bible study for some of you in here, to study the different names of God. One of my favorite ones is Emmanuel, because of what it means. I love what it means. What does it mean? God with us. So the incredible thing about God is he's a relational God. He's a God that wants you to encounter him. He wants you to feel him. He wants you to hear him. He wants all of that for you. In fact, one scripture in Jeremiah says that it's not hard to get to know God, because he's literally built a place in your heart where only he fits. I love that scripture. In other words, it's not hard to encounter God. Did you hear me? You were created to encounter God. You were created to hear from your Father. You were created to know his voice. Come on, someone needs to hear this. Did you understand that you are made by God in his image and in his likeness? And you need to understand, with that comes all of the equipment in you to hear from him, to follow him, to surrender to him, and to do what he created you to do. That should encourage you tonight, is that you're not a misfit. You're not coming in here not equipped and not capable of receiving what everyone else you've heard of has said they've encountered. An encounter. I want you to look at this scripture. This scripture right here, it's in your notes. In fact, go ahead and open up those notebooks. If you don't have one, let your table host know. It's Job 42:5. Job 42:5, I love this scripture so much, because it really describes a lot of my story. Job 42, verse 5. Job, who's Job? Does anyone remember Job? What's he famous for? Oh, you're going to have to talk to me. What? Trials, right? A bunch of junk. Anybody identify with Job? Has anyone had some trials or some junk? Oh, two of you. So I need to dismiss 99% of this class who have never had trials. I'm kidding. Listen to what the king of trials had to say in Job 42:5. He said, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I'd heard of God, sat in church for many years, served on a dream team even as a coach, knew the Bible inside and out. I knew all about, this says in the Word of God, Job was a righteous man. So he had heard and knew everything there was to know about God. But something happened in chapter 42. It went beyond knowing about God to what? Truly seeing him for who he really was and is. That changed everything for Job. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to encounter Emmanuel. If there's more of God to be had, I want it. If there's more of him that I need, I want to surrender myself to it. You know, I want you guys to be so open to the process that God has for you in here. Because many of you may be like I was. I, too, was a lot like Job. Like, I knew, I grew up hearing about God in church. My mom brought us to church whenever she could, whenever my dad let her bring us to church. And so I grew up knowing about God, but I encountered God at youth camp. I had my first encounter. Well, okay, technically I had my first encounter in a United Pentecostal church that I went to with my friend, and I ended up in the bathroom stall shaking and crying. True story, not making that up. But what I was encountering was the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know what it was, and it kind of scared me a little bit. And a lot of us, that might be you tonight. This is not a United Pentecostal church, but you might identify with my story there in that I wanted to understand God, but a lot of it still kind of scared me. But my second encounter with God was at youth camp. And that is when I came to know and understand. That was when all of the head knowledge went to heart. And that's when I truly saw Jesus Christ for the first time. That is when I encountered God. And here's what I've learned, and this is our opening thought for tonight. It is hard to know and become what you cannot see. It is hard to know and become like someone you do not know. And we come to know who God is as we experience him. Did you hear me? We come to know who he is as we encounter him, as we experience him. And what's so cool about encounters with God is then as you're reading his word, how you will recognize how he works still today like he did back then. And it's so faith-building, and it's so life-giving, and it's so encouraging. And I want to encourage all of you right now to understand that God has encounters for you this next 8 weeks. He has appointments with you that you don't know about yet. He has things waiting for you and him that you don't know about yet. And you don't need to be nervous because he's going to make sure you don't miss it. Look at the definition of the word encounter. What does that word really mean? And why is it so important for this class? Because the definition of the word encounter means, get this, I love it, to come upon face to face. To come upon face to face. To come upon or experience, especially unexpectedly. And that was me. Like, God was sneaky God, because I was not expecting it. I went to camp with my boyfriend. We were going to the beach. It was at a condo. So I wasn't saved yet, apparently, because I went with my boyfriend, but my whole goal was to find other guys. That was the whole point. I went. Isn't that horrible? Pastor Talia, yes. I was not always Pastor Talia. And so I went to camp, and I'm telling you, that first night of camp, I was sitting out there thinking I was good with God because I went to church once in a while, you know, and my boyfriend was saved, so I figured that counted for me somehow. I don't know. That got credited to my account, I felt. And so I was there, you know, with him, and the very first night, I'm feeling all good, and my roommate asked me to go up front and pray with her to help her get prayed for. And she was, like, really bad. And so I thought, she really needs prayer. I'm definitely going with her. So she and I, her name's Candace, we went up front, and I'm praying with Candace, and I'm like crying. My mascara's running. I don't know why. Like, I have no idea what's going on, but I think I'm really crying because I think she's so bad, and she really needs Jesus. And so I'm praying. for real. And I'm praying for her, and we're laying hands on her. I don't even know why we're laying hands on her. Like, that was weird, but I did it because they were all doing it. And the speaker stopped. He was very prophetic. You got to watch out for those prophetic people. He stops praying for her, and he looked at me, and he said, "You, I don't know why you're praying for her. You've got this, named five exact things in my life that I'll just say weren't God-honoring." And he nailed them to a T, and I just fell to my knees, and it was my second encounter. I'd like to tell you that I got saved, but I still didn't, because I had a lot of stubbornness and pride. Anyone identify with pride? A lot of pride in me. So the next night, before that next night, I went back to our condo. We're talking to my counselors and stuff, and I'm still crying, and I don't know why. And they said, just keep your heart open. My counselor said, would you just tell you, just keep your heart open to whatever God has for you tomorrow night. Don't let what happened tonight scare you off, listen, to what God may still have for you tomorrow. She said, "All you may not understand." She said, "I'm just asking you to stay open." I was like, okay, I can do that. Don't understand a lick right now. Freaked out, but I'll stay open. So hold on. I was freaked out, but very intrigued. And can I tell you guys the truth? Inside, there was something hungry for God that I had never felt before. Something was happening in me. After each encounter, I was changing internally, and I didn't even know it. Finally, the night of all nights, I go to the service. And the moment the drumsticks clicked, I felt that same thing that I felt the night before. I didn't know what it was called. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know. But I felt that thing. And I remembered my counselor in my ear saying, say surrendered. And so I took my little hands for the first time in my life, and out of my own heart, lifted them up to the Lord, and I felt him stronger. I felt whatever that was stronger, and I began to cry, and I began to feel this urge to open up my heart to whatever this was, and I remember it like it was yesterday, just lifting my hands to God, worshiping him. I didn't know the words to the songs, but I remember telling him how much I loved him over and over again. That night, I had the most powerful encounter with God to date. I left that building never the same. I encountered God in such a powerful way that I could not ever really be the same. And what I'm so passionate about, and really a lot of where encounter came out of my own heart, even as we were writing it, was I have such a passion and an empathy for Christ believers who have never encountered his presence or his power to do so. Because something changes when the words get off the page and become alive in your heart. Something changes when it's not just the story of Jesus talking to the woman at the well, but it's the story of Jesus talking to you at your bedside. Do you understand? We as Christians deserve and need and should crave modern day encounters with the one true living God who is called Emmanuel. I want you to open your Bibles real quick to this story. I love it. It's in John chapter 9. It's okay. If you don't know how to flip through your Bible, just get out the trusty iPhone. Don't you love that about iPhones? You feel really smart about the Bible. No one knows. You don't know where all the books are. You just like click on it. So great. We didn't have that when I was a new Christian, and I remember flipping through the Bible, not knowing where anything was. But I want to read to you guys a quick story about an encounter. A very interesting, kind of weird encounter in the Bible, but I really like the story, and I hope that you would just open up your mind and your heart right now as we read it. Can we do that together? Let's read it. Starting in verse 1, John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Jesus replies in verse 3, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened. Say that with me. Say, this happened. What happened? What was this? The blindness. This man's tragedy. This man's story. This man's obstacle. Listen, it says, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. The next verse says in verse 4, and this is very important, Jesus follows that statement and says, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. That went over about 3/4 of your heads. Jesus said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. What is he talking about there? We must quickly do what? Whatever he tells us is what he's saying. Then the next verse says, the night is coming, Jesus said, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and the others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they call Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, listen, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. I want to share 5 things the Lord gave me for you guys tonight out of this story quickly. I want to start in verse 4. That kind of strange verse right there. Let's look at it together. Can we do that? Look at verse 4 again. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. Can I just tell you guys, the definition of the word tasks, this is interesting. It literally means work, labor, hold on, course of action. Why is that important for you guys this next 8 weeks? Here's why. We're going to be giving you guys some different tasks assigned to you. And I promise you, we're not just trying to be to keep you busy or to waste your time. Listen, every task assigned to you is something we felt the Lord gave us to help drill deeper the truths you're going to learn in here. Notice what he says in verse 4. How are we supposed to carry out those tasks? Quickly. What's the opposite of quick? Yeah, you guys are smart. Group, yes. Opposite of quick is slow. So hold on. Listen. What does that mean to us, though? Here's what I wrote down, and I want you, if you can write this down, that's great. If not, I can give you guys my notes later. God is going to assign you certain tasks to complete throughout encounter, but you must be willing to quickly carry them out. What would have happened? Everyone listen. Listen, think about this. What would have happened if the blind man stalled in his healing process? What if he stalled with the assignment? What was the assignment Jesus gave him? Go wash yourself. What would have happened had he stalled in that or not done it? Well, he would have walked around with mud on his eyes. Yes, that is true. Right? Yes, he would have gone unhealed. Look at this next verse. I love this. Verse 5 says, Jesus said, while I'm here, I am the light. While he's here, while you're here, take advantage of it when Jesus says, "This is, I'm calling you to do this right now." Now is here. Jesus is here now. And while Jesus is here, we want to make sure we're willing to respond to what Jesus is doing. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Like, I know today was rough. I know probably if you were like all the rest of us, the week leading up to Encounter was very challenging in a lot of weird ways and hard ways, because the enemy already knows the process and he knows the end result. And so he loves to try to discourage us in that process and keep us from it. But Jesus said, "Hey, I'm here. You may have a hard week, but I am there. I'm going to meet you guys every single week in Encounter. I am here." So timing is everything. Your timing is everything. I want you guys to fully commit to these next 8 weeks. And I want you to realize that when you show up, he is here waiting for you. Verse 6, listen to this. I love it. "Then he spit on the ground, he made the mud with the saliva, and he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes." That is weird. I don't care what you say. I know we read it now, and it's like super cool because we know like Jesus heals him with this. But to this moment, to date, ain't no Messiah spit in someone's eye. Made some mud. What is the Lord speaking to you guys and to me through this scripture? Can I share it with you? God may do something unique to get you to cooperate with him through Encounter. Did you hear that? It's kind of unique. Let's just be honest. It's actually really weird. Now, what I love about Encounter is we're not weird. You know, we're naturally supernatural. We're not weird Christian people, okay? The Holy Spirit isn't weird. People are, okay? So, but what I am saying is that God may want to do, listen, God is probably going to do something different than he's ever done for you. He's probably going to do it in a way he's not done it before. And if you get hung up on the fact that what he did tonight doesn't feel or look like what he did 5 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago, you will miss your Encounter moment. You will miss it because it doesn't match what you think it should look like. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that this blind man didn't let the spit in the mud hinder him from responding to his healing process. The next verse, verse 7. Jesus said, "Go wash yourself." Go wash yourself. And for you English scholars in here, how many English scholars do I have in here? Okay, well, let me explain. There's this thing called an understood you. Isn't there? No. So some of you remember eighth grade English. Here we go. Understood you. You is not mentioned, but it is very much implied. And so Jesus is saying, "You, blind, you go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." What in the world? What audacity Jesus had. Come on, guys, think about this. The poor guy's blind. Like, he finally made it to Jesus. Not only is he blind now, but now he's got mud in his eyes. Like, let's take a bad situation, let's make it more complicated. If his eyes started to even start to be healed, he now has mud all over them, blocking his view. And Jesus says, "You go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Do you understand the power of this moment? Do you understand that every time God has healed me of something big, of something significant, of something detrimental for my life, he has always told me, "Talia, go wash in the pool of Siloam yourself." He'll spit in my eye and make some mud, but he gives me my part. Say my part. You have a strategic part to play in your healing process. And if you sit here and just want Jesus to come wash mud in your eye and do nothing, you also will miss the Encounter moment. You'll miss it. As someone said over here, you'll just walk around with mud in your eye. And that's not the end result God desires. You must cooperate with God. Be willing to do your part in the healing process. The second and the last part of verse 7 says, so the man went and washed and came back seeing. He did what Jesus told him to do. What was the result? He could see. Your obedience motivated by faith. Listen. Your obedience motivated by faith will bring forth your healing and your freedom. Did you hear that? See, some of you, you're still stuck because God has spoken to you about 10 to 15 to 100 times. And until tonight, you didn't realize that, like, in order for that situation to truly change, you have to buck up and do your part too. And see, what's incredible about Encounter is this process that we're going to walk with you through. Not as leaders from an ivory tower telling you how it should be, but as people who have literally, like, still been in the trenches with you, who have been there ahead of you to help you walk through and navigate the terrain that you're about to embark on through this journey. And it's incredible. It's so incredible. What we want to do now is there's a group exercise in your notes, and I know they flash 10 minutes up there. I'm going to give you three minutes. It's in Appendix A. Appendix A in your notes. Now listen, this is important. This is important because here's what we want to ask you guys. And you, listen, this is so important. Here's your first task. So we're going to do it quickly because I'm almost out of time. But we're going to answer two questions. Appendix A, you got it? Appendix A in the back. Appendixes are in the back. Appendices are in the back. What do you need? Or listen, here we go. Everybody, you got it? Say got it. Got it. Okay, the men have it. Got it? Say got it. We've all got it. All right. Here we go. What do you need or want God to do in you or for you these next 8 weeks? Hey, this is super simple. Don't overthink it. Listen, everyone look right up here. Because all of you A-type personalities are already trying to read the instructions and get it all done just right. Hold on. Just like off the cuff, what do you need God to do for you? What must change? What needs healed? What needs stirred up again that's lying dormant? And then in the second column, we want you to write down what are the obstacles that you know you might encounter as you let the Lord do that in your life. You following me? One column, it could be two things, one thing. A list of, like, goals or things you really need and want God to, that only God can do. Come on, guys. You guys are putting your faith on the line here. This is what must change. This is my blindness that needs healed. And here are the obstacles I know I might encounter throughout this process that I need to be ready for. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. So what we want you guys to do with that this week is to add to it in your time with God. You know, in Starting Point, we talked to you guys about having that time with God consistently. If you're in Grow Track right now, you're hearing a lot, you're getting ready to hear a lot about that in Grow One. But can we just continue to let that be the thread throughout this discipleship process of Timber Creek? Even in Encounter, we want you guys to spend time with God. And as you're doing that this week, that's one of your homework assignments right there, is to pray over that. Pray over it. Ask the Lord to do what you want him to do here and pray against those obstacles that the enemy would try to bring to prevent those from happening. Amen? Are you guys with me on that? Just real quickly, before we take a break, we've got a break coming up. I want to finish up my part here by talking just quickly about what an encounter does. We talked about what it is, but what does an encounter truly do in your life? The first thing I want you to see in your notes is that encounters with God really reveal our true identity. I love this. Your identity, it means who a person really is. Who a person really is. I love those Jason Bourne movies. Those are super cool. I love those. You know, I like, I think, is there three of them now? I think there's three of them. I love the first one the most. I love that one. Four, oh my gosh, I'm behind. But I love it because this guy's got like this identity thing going on, right? And identity is who a person really is. You know, as an archaeologist brushes and scrapes away debris and dirt to discover the true identity of a fossil, God uses encounters with us to brush away, to remove the dirt and dross from our old sinful lives and reveal our true identity, who we originally were created to be. I want to write down a scripture for you to read this week. It's Psalms 139, Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And it really just talks about how God knew you before you were born. I just would challenge all of you in here, as you spend time with God over that list, read that scripture and remember that God's not just saying that about the person in that chapter. He's saying that about you in your life. But encounters with God have this crazy ability to brush away what is not true, listen, to reveal what he has always seen in you. It's beautiful. It's an incredible process. And I believe the Lord, in my own experience, he's just as delicate. He's just as smart and like knowledgeable and cautious as that archaeologist is with those fossils of dinosaur bones, right? It's so important for you to understand that God's not trying to scrap what he made and start something new in you. Who he made you to be is already great. There's just some stuff that's gotten corroded on you and attached to you and like hurt you that he just wants to brush away so that the true identity of who you are can be revealed to you. Love that. Don't you love that? I love that about the Lord. Number two and finally, an encounter with God will show you who he really is. His true identity. Exodus 34:5-7, it says, "The Lord descended to Moses in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by in front of him, Moses, and proclaimed." Listen to what Moses said as the Lord passes in front of him. He said, the Lord God, compassionate, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. Did you hear that? Abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. What's important to understand here as I finish is that some of us, if not all, have had or may still have some wrong views of God. His true identity has a residue over it in your own mind and heart that is keeping you from wanting to attach to him because of untruths you believe about God. When you truly encounter God, as Moses did, he immediately saw, he had just got done seeing the judgment of God, the wrath of God on the Egyptians, all of this stuff. But suddenly, God shows up to Moses. And when Moses truly sees God, he is blown away to the point where he begins to exuberantly say out loud, "The Lord God, the Lord God." He's what? He's compassionate? He just struck the Egyptians. I thought he was. No, he's actually compassionate. Wait, he's not angry, but he's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. Well, he just like washed them all away in the Dead Sea. Do you see what's happening here? Moses was projecting and seeing God incorrectly, but God was faithful to show up and straighten that out. And God is going to do the same for you. And maybe you don't have a really messed up, tragic past like mine, but maybe the greatest tragedy is your inability to see God for who he really is. And God wants to encounter you with himself and his true identity. An encounter with God also shows you who you really are and who you're not, your present reality, your present identity. And I love this final one. I love this one so much because this is so personal to me. And I think a lot of you can identify with this one. That an encounter with God also shows you who you can become with His help. Your identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, come on, this is a great one. Therefore, Paul said to all these new Christians, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, like look at it. All things have become new. And I'm telling you, you're going to encounter God in some fresh new ways. You are going to encounter Emmanuel. And when you do, you're going to see yourself as He sees you. And for some of you, it's going to bring healing. For some of you, it's going to bring excitement and great hope. And the next thing He's going to bring is a revelation of who He really is. And then finally, oh, and I love it. He then, when you get down and you get comfortable, listen, with who you really are, and you get situated and confident in who He really is, then He takes you on this journey of discovery of all the things you have yet to become and do with Him. And I'm telling you, that's a whole new dimension to your Christian walk. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now over this group, and I pray, Father, that their hearts would be hungry for change. That instead of being afraid of walking to the pool of Siloam, that they would be so ready for whatever it might be that You have waiting for them in their marriages, in their families, and their future, that they would be willing to do their part throughout this process as they encounter You. We ask it, God, right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bubba.
Thank you, Talia. Hey, let's hear it for Talia. Not because she's just Talia, but she speaks what God has for us to hear. Not from her head, but from her heart. It's a true concern for each and every one of us to really understand our identity, who we are. I know there's people in here that have been hurt, your fault, my fault, nobody's fault, that you've been dragging those things. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you're a survivor of something. Well, let me tell you something. God didn't put you on this earth to be a survivor. He put you on this earth to be an overcomer. And once you realize not who you are, but whose you are, life changes. People call me Bubba. That's not my real name. My real name is Carol Wayne. I know. I've heard them all, let me tell you. My real name is Carol Wayne. My nickname is Bubba. You may be a distraught, hurt, seeking individual, but you're really a winner, an overcomer. Okay? Now let's take about 5 minutes, run, get a few refreshments, be back in here. We got a big old boy named Biscuits that's going to come and deliver some more word. 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Learning who the nice person is and who the mean person is. Good cop, bad cop. Nah, I'm just kidding. I got a great wife, and how I got her, it still is beyond me. I don't know. People ask me what was that? Oh, the Mean Girls Club back there. I get it. Man, we are so glad that you guys have decided to take out your time and be here tonight and be a part of this for the next 8 weeks. As long as you continue to press in, as long as you continue to open up and allow the Lord, man, we just want this to pour on you. If we could take something and just pour on Jackie that she would get it, we'd do it. But we can't do that. This is an opportunity, even though it's a classroom setting. There's no one else in here but you and the Lord, because that's who He's speaking with. We're going to move on now into a different part. We have a speaker that needs no introduction at all. This is a guy, I want to tell you, he's very passionate about what he does. He's very passionate. He speaks to you the truth, and I tell you, sometimes the truth will set you free, but it's a little painful too. But that's okay. With pain comes gain, all right? At least that's what they say at the gym. So without any further ado, please put your hands together for Justin Biscuit Lindsay.
All right. What an introduction. Everybody that ever teaches at this church, nobody ever says, I want to teach after Pastor Talia. It's always fun to get up after she teaches, but that's okay. We're going to get started. We're going to get started on this second half with a group game or group discussion. And at your tables, and the table hosts know, we're going to look at some scriptures. And your table host has a scripture in front of you. And what we're going to do is we want to look at some stories in the Bible where some big, strong biblical characters had an encounter with God, had an encounter with Christ. And in that, what we want to answer is what did they learn, what did they experience from their encounter with Christ? And in this activity, we're going to give you about 8 to 10 minutes to go over this at your table with your group leader. So, 2 more minutes. We're going to move into the next part of a teaching tonight. But, you know, as we look at these stories in the Bible, there's a common thread of an encountering with God. But what I want to talk about just for a second is, though there is a common thread of an encounter with God, there's also a common thread of change. See, when we come into contact with a living God, something has to change. We cannot stay the same and remain the same when we truly have a face-to-face, heart-to-heart encounter with a living God. Because He is creation, He is Creator, and when we meet our Creator, something shifts. When each one of these individuals in the Bible met and had a face-to-face encounter with Christ, it changed them. It showed Hagar love. Through Moses, there come freedom. It changed Paul's entire life with one encounter on the road to Damascus. All of them have the common thread of change. And I believe that everybody in here tonight desires change in their life, whether it be in their personal life, their business life, their family life, their spiritual life. We all desire change. And that change comes from an encounter with the one true God. And I want to talk just a second about an encounter that I had with God a couple of months ago. And it's a very unique encounter. See, each of us have the opportunity to encounter Christ. Our encounters are going to be unique to our situations. I think that we seek and desire things in different seasons of our life, and God meets us exactly where we are. And He shows up in ways that if we're not careful, and that's what we're going to talk about today, that we'll miss an encounter with the one true God. And I went to lunch with my wife at Skyline Burrito a couple months ago, and nothing out of the norm, nothing spectacular. We go in, have great conversation, we eat, and on the way out, I encountered a gentleman who pulled up on a bicycle, and you could tell he was starving to death. He probably hadn't eaten in a couple of days, hadn't bathed in I don't know when. He reeked of the world, and he asked me, he said, brother, is there any way you'd buy me something to eat? And I said, sure, come on in. So I bought him a burrito, and I got him something to drink. And as I watched this individual sit over there at the fountain and fill his cup up, over and over, he was dying of thirst. Over and over. And so I told him, I said, when you get done, I said, I'll meet you outside. And I met him outside, and I said, there's something I want you to do. And I got the opportunity to witness to this man. I got in my car and left. When I began to study this, God showed me something so profound in this encounter. And what was profound about it is I chalked that up as a generous act. That's just what I'm supposed to do. I'm a Christian. You know, save people, serve people. Pastor Jeremy says it all the time. And I thought I was just doing a good deed. But what I did not realize is there was a bifold encounter with a living God in the parking lot of the Skyline Burrito. And this is how. See, in the season of my life I'm in right now, and each one of you have your own unique season, I desire to be used by God. That's what I need. That's what I yearn and desire, is for God to use me as his mouthpiece, as his feet and his hands and his eyes and his ears. I want to be used. That's what brings me joy. That's what blesses me, is when God deems me qualified through him to be used. And so I got to experience and encounter God because I got to be like Jesus for a second. That individual who thought he was just getting a burrito got to hear the living word of God. He got to experience living bread, that he'll never go hungry again if he embraces it. He got to drink and taste and see living water to where he would never thirst again if he embraced it. He got to experience Christ-like qualities. He got to see Jesus in me. God showed up in the parking lot of a Skyline Burrito and revealed himself to two totally different people in two totally different ways. And the same God that revealed himself there is the same God we're talking about tonight. It's the same one y'all just studied with Paul and Hagar and Moses, and it's the same one that we're going to discuss in my teaching tonight. I'm going to discuss five keys to modern day encounters with God. Gracious Father, I just come to you. And God, there's nothing more powerful than encounter with a living God. There's nothing more powerful, God, when we get to stand face to face with our Creator God and receive what you have for us. God, that you may light our pathway. Father, that you may give us vision and hearing. God, that we may see what you want us to see, hear what you want us to hear, and do what you want us to do. And God, I just pray as your servant, God, that you cripple my mind and you cripple my lips, God. And I just pray that your spirit flow through me, God, like only you can do. God, that we may encounter you as a group and individually tonight, Father. That we may truly know what it feels like to experience the living God. Because, Father, I know your presence is here because your word says so. Where two or more gathered, there you are. And God, I just pray, Father, that as we go through this teaching, that you enlighten us, God, and reveal yourself to us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, five keys to modern day encounters with God. Number one, awareness. See, we must be aware of the fact that God longs to reveal himself to us today every bit as much as he did for those in the Bible. God still longs to reveal himself to us. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word awareness actually means knowing and understanding that something is happening. If we're going to encounter God, we have to have a knowledge and an understanding that something is happening. We have to have a knowledge and an understanding that God desires to reveal himself to us. The same God that showed up on the road to Damascus, revealed himself to Saul, which the change come and he became Paul, and he changed Christianity forever through one encounter. One encounter. See, the same God that longed to reveal himself to Paul longs to reveal himself to everybody in here tonight. Just like Pastor Taya said, you're not in here by accident. God has chosen each one of you to be in here in these seats tonight. And the reason why is because God desires to reveal himself to you. The same God that revealed himself to Moses. The same one that revealed himself to Paul. And here's what's awesome about this. If you study that story in Acts about where Paul got changed and Paul experienced God, and God tells Ananias to go do something. Ananias says, hang on a second. Paul or Saul? I've heard all of these horrible things about what he's doing. God said, oh, hang on a second. I know who he is. I know what he's going to do. And he is my messenger Somebody in here tonight needs to hear this. If anybody in your life has spoken to you and said you are disqualified because of the life you live, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because nobody walking this earth qualifies you or disqualifies you. You're qualified through Jesus Christ, and it does not matter what you have done from this point back, because Jesus Christ has a plan for you right now to meet you right where you're at, for a plan from this point forward. So if you desire for God to reveal himself to you, he will in a mighty way. But you have a responsibility. You have to be aware that God wants to do this. You have to know and understand that the same God that created the cosmos, the creation of creation, desires to reveal himself to you tonight. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. Because we are talking about eternal stuff here, guys. We're not talking about something that's temporary. We're talking about a God that wants to reveal himself to us for eternity. And I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Because if the same God that revealed himself to Paul wants to reveal himself to me, there's nothing that the enemy can lay in front of me that I cannot conquer through Jesus Christ. That's revelation. Number two, intentionality and focus. The word intentionality actually means with purpose. So it's when you do something on purpose. Okay, when you purposely do something, you intentionally do it. The word focus actually means a center of activity. Okay, so basically, we must purposely put God at the center of our activities. We must intentionally make time to spend with him. We must be intentional to listen to his voice and to look for where he is at work in our lives. God desires time. The people in here have children or have been in relationships. We desire time with our spouse, with our children. That's what God wants. God wants you to make time for him on purpose. It's that easy. Find a time in your day that God is the center of your activity. Every one of us in here go 90 miles an hour. We got this activity got to get to, this baseball game, this softball game, this volleyball game, this underwater polo, whatever it is you do. Okay? I got a marathon to run tomorrow. That's a joke. It's a joke. I ain't running. Y'all see me running, y'all better go. There's something bad on my tail. We'll talk about it later, but you better get your kids and go. God wants us to make time for him. How can we expect God to show up in our life and reveal himself to us if we're not willing to make him a focal point in our life? We got 24 hours in a day. And say we only took 5 minutes of those for God. Go tell your boss tomorrow that you're going to offer him 5 minutes a day and see where that lands you. But yet the one that created us, the one that breathed life into us, the one that supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, we rob and steal from him every day because we don't make him our focal point. We don't have time for him. And he ain't asking for a whole day, he's asking for a portion. But when you give him that portion, you give him all of you. Because here's the thing. I want you to think about this. What if Jesus Christ only gave you a portion of himself on that cross? Where would we be today? He gave it all. He paid it all. So that we may experience him and encounter him in our everyday life. Number three, surrender. We must allow the encounters we experience to change us. I'm going to say that again. We must allow. That means we have a responsibility. We must allow. Just like the blind man had a responsibility to go wash the mud off of his eyes, we have a responsibility to allow the encounters to change us. The encounters are going to come. God's going to do his part. But when we encounter God and we don't allow it to change us, it's like fighting the wind. You will get nowhere. We have to allow. And surrender looks like this. It's turning your will over to God's will. Surrender means to give oneself up into the power of another. I don't know about you, but God knew me before I was ever formed in the womb. He created me. He knows my DNA. He knows my fingerprint is unique to nobody else. It's unique only to me. He is the perfected God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is time. He's all of these things. Why wouldn't I surrender myself to him? Why wouldn't I allow my power to be turned over to his? He created it. Don't you think he has a perfected plan for us? That if we're willing to say, all right, God, I'm tired. I 3 years ago, I stood on my porch of my house and said, God, I've tried it for 35 years my way. I'm going to give you a shot at this. That was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I was in the middle of a divorce. Most of y'all know. I wasn't going to share with this, but God just y'all listen to me. 3 years ago, I was standing in the middle of, I would divorce my wife and my three beautiful kids and left. I was lost. 3 years now, God's got a microphone in my hand. And my wife's sitting back there, just we're restored. God restored our marriage. But it's because she surrendered and I surrendered. And it's because I said, all right, God, Justin's way has messed it up for so long. Let's see if your system works. I promise it does. And he met me on my front porch, exactly where I was, in the condition that I was in, and said, if you'll do your part, son, I'll do mine. And he hasn't failed me yet. He hasn't failed me yet. The thing about surrender, guys, it's truly giving up our will so that we can receive the will of the Father. See, society tells us in order to be victorious, you have to attack. God says, you want to be victorious in me? Surrender. It's called reverse economics. You want to be victorious in me and have victory over the world, victory over your marriage, victory over your children, victory over your life through me? Surrender. The world tells you to attack. You want that? You go get it. God does it completely opposite, because what it does is it transfers the power into God, and God does it for us. Number four, this was the hardest one for me, persistence and patience. I love this next statement. We must seek him until we see him. The word patience, I studied it. You know what patience actually means? It's an active pursuit of waiting. I'm going to say that one more time. It's an active pursuit of waiting. It's kind of weird, ain't it? You want me to actively wait? So you want me to actively stop? Yes, I want you to actively pursue me and wait. And I'm going to show you where the Bible backs that up. You want to write this down in your notes? I'm going to read this. Matthew 7:7. It says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. It doesn't say ask once. It says keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Keeping on is a process. Keep on keeping on. Everybody's heard that. That means we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep pursuing God, even when it doesn't look good. Even when she's not being the wife I think she needs to be, or I know I'm not being the husband I need to be, or my finances don't look like this, or my job doesn't look like, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep pursuing God. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking, and I'm going to keep knocking. Because his word says, if you will do this, you will receive. I'll open it. But we have to keep on. That's the portion like Talia was talking about. We have a responsibility. We can't take and rub him like a genie and he pop out and say, here you go. But we can pursue him passionately. And in that passionate pursuit, we have to be willing to stop. We have to be willing to surrender. And we have to be willing to actively wait for God. And what that means is when things don't look like you want them to look, you don't quit seeking him. You don't get off of your knees. You don't get out of your quiet place. You don't turn that praise and worship music off. You don't quit showing up on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights in Grove and to your group and to Sunday mornings. You don't quit pouring into your wife. You don't quit pouring into your husband. You don't quit pouring into your children. And you don't let people quit pouring into you that are spiritual. You keep on keeping on. I promise it works. But Jesus wants to know, where's your heart at? I'll reveal myself to you, but you're going to go wash that mud off of your own eyes. I've done my part. You're healed. You were healed before I put the mud on your eyes. But you have a part in this. Keep on keeping on. See, the disciples began to see and understand their true identity. And Pastor Talia touched on identity a while ago. And she said something, I love that last, of who we can be. I don't know about y'all. I love who I am today, but I can't wait to see who God's going to make me tomorrow. I'm so excited about what God has for me down the road. And that's a process to get there. And I'm going to discover my identity day in and day out through pursuing and seeking God so that I might know Him more, but I'm going to truly find out who He is too. It says, but the disciples began to seek and understand their true identity in Christ progressively over time, through encounters with God and His truth about who He is. God just didn't dump it all out to them at one time. They had to believe. He got in Peter's boat, and Peter was a professional fisherman, knew all there is about fishermen, and he told him, he said, do this. He told him to do something that fishermen don't even do. Peter's like, whatever, God. You know all this about fishing. Okay. And he filled his nets. That was part of Peter's process. Peter could have rolled them nets up and said, no, God, you get out of my boat. Jesus said, okay. But he didn't. That was part of his process. We have a process that happens day in and day out. And God will guide us through this process. He will reveal Himself to us day in and day out if we do our part. And when God shows up in these tough areas of our life, and God shows up in these good areas of our life, there is a peace and a hope and a joy that comes when we see God at work in our life. And I don't know anybody sitting in this room right now that doesn't desire more hope, more peace, more joy, more freedom. And the living God is speaking to you right now, and I don't know what He is speaking to you, but you do. And what He is speaking to you is part of the process that if you embrace for the next 8 weeks, I promise it will change the course of your life forever. But if you come in here and you sit for the next 8 weeks and stare at the wall, in 8 weeks you're going to look up and be exactly where you are tonight. We are going to get out of this what we want to get out of this. Pastor Jeremy says it all the time. You know what you're going to get out of this? What you want to. And the last one is understanding. We need to ask and be able to answer, what have these encounters revealed to us about God and ourselves? So what is God speaking to me right now? What is God talking and speaking to your heart right now? I can't answer that. Talia can't answer that. Sonia, Whitney, Lisa, Pastor Stephen sitting back there, Bubba, these tables, we cannot answer that question for you. But God is speaking something to you right now. We have to understand what He is speaking to us. We have to understand how to be aware. We have to understand how to seek Him and how to focus on Him. We have to understand that it comes through prayer, it comes through worship, it comes through serving, it comes through being quiet and listening. It comes through waiting patiently, but in an active motion. That's where our understanding comes from. And when we stop and we get quiet and we quit yelling at the chaos in our life, you see, the enemy will take 10% of your life and get you to focus on 10%. God's in the other 90% doing great things. And it may not be the greatest in the world what you see, but if you have a roof over your head, if you've got food at the house, all right, if you have a spouse, if you have children, if you whatever, it's because God did that. It's nothing on our own accord, whether we think it is or not. But what the enemy will do is he'll take that 10% you're struggling with, and we'll get so focused on that 10% that we cannot understand, and we do not see, and we're not aware of where God is showing up in our life in so many other areas. And we'll focus on that 10% to the point it destroys us. And God's saying, why can't you see me in the rest of it? Why can't you see me in the, why can't you give me joy for all of this? You're focused on 10%. You don't understand what I'm calling you to do because you get focused on the 10% or 5% or whatever it is that you don't think I'm in, and I'm right in the middle of it. But I need you to do what I'm calling you to do, and I need you to do it now. Now is your time. Now is your time. You have a unique opportunity in this class. This is my fifth round, and God shows up more and more every time I go through this. I helped teach the very first time sitting over there in the annex building with people I thought were crazy. And now they're my family. And I have learned more and more and more. And God has revealed himself more and more and more every time, every Sunday night, every Monday morning, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday that I wake up, make God my focus, focal point. And I'm aware that he wants to show up in my life and why he created me and he loves me and he has a purpose for me. He loves you, he created you, and Terry, he has a purpose for you. Brittany, he has a purpose for you. Tia, he has a purpose for you. Brandon, John, he has a purpose for you. You're here for a reason, and so that God may reveal himself to you tonight in a mighty, mighty way. So the question is, who will you become after the encounter? And that is a question only you can answer. I can't answer it. Nobody in this room can answer it but you. Who will you become after the encounter? Let us pray. Gracious Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that your word is so true. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you still yearn to reveal yourself to us even in the midst of our junk. God, the things that we're dealing with are no surprise to you. The things that we're dealing with don't catch you off guard. It's not like you're not ahead of us, God. You are omnipresent. You are time. So it's not like anything's happened today or this past week or what's going to happen tomorrow that takes you off guard. And God, because of that, you see us right where we're at. And God, I just pray that your spirit fall and you reveal yourself to us as only you can, God. But I pray over the conditions of the hearts in this room, God, that they condition themselves through this process, God, to experience you. One time, one encounter on the road to Damascus changed Christianity. God, I pray for one encounter tonight that could change the direction of our eternal life, Father. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's hear from Mr. Lindsay. I'm going to tell you something. I've had the privilege of this man being my friend for, well, when we started off in the annex. And you're not going to find another individual that's more passionate about what he is sharing with you. It's not what he thinks, it's what the Lord wants you to know. That's what he does. He's nobody better than that. I admire his passion. The sucker can cook, too. And he's lost 25 pounds. How about that? And he walked out before we could do it. So y'all tell him, man, do you look thinner? So, and what he was saying, I was sitting back there thinking. And out of all five of those, the one that really hit me was surrender. It's a painful thing to have to surrender yourself. Dallas, you're an officer in the Army, correct? You're okay. It'd be a painful thing to have to surrender, wouldn't it? But in some instances, you know it gives life because you don't want to sacrifice your men on a useless mission. It's painful, but it gives life to others. It also gives you life. It gives you an opportunity to grow and to be somebody that the Lord wants you to be. I'm 53 years old. I've been in church my entire life. I was a preacher's kid. My little sister would tell you, and she would not be lying, that I've been a pompous, I've been arrogant, I've been a jerk. I've lived the Christian life through the head and not the heart. I could talk the scripture, I could do whatever. But it says right here, we must intentionally allow the encounter we experience to change us. We must allow. Over 53 years, I can assure you, I've had opportunities to allow the Lord to change me, but it was my choice. I chose not to because I had it all by the tail. I could say the right things, do the right things, and people would think that was so impressive, and then live one way during the week. I wouldn't allow that change to come. Even though I knew it was something that was going to benefit me, but I was satisfied with where I was. It seemed to be working for me. We don't want anybody in this room to miss their potential, miss the life that the Lord has for them by a foot. From the top of your head to your heart. It's right here, ladies and gentlemen. We have to allow the Lord to take our heart. It's so sad. I have seen people come through these classes, and you can see them battling, and they will not allow that change to occur. They hold on to those things that have identified them, who Satan has said that they are, or they enjoy them. I've seen individuals that have abilities to teach, to preach, but because of pride, haughty spirit, and the fear of looking indignified, they did not allow encounter to work. Dallas, they didn't surrender. It's imperative, Lacey, that you allow the Lord to take everything and to surrender. The team that you see in here, we're not through. We didn't go through the 8-week course and the retreat and saying, well, it's all done. It's just begun. The difference is we approach things differently. Our attitudes are different. Our mindsets are different. Our priorities are different. We have forgiveness for people where in the past we didn't. There is such a change that comes when you surrender your life to the Lord. This is not difficult. It's really not. It's a gift that the Lord has for us. But the problem is, because we don't understand whose we are, we allow the devil. Here's the thing. The devil does not want you to understand that you have the ability to limit his movement in your life. Not through yourself, but through the Lord Jesus Christ that shed the blood on the cross for us. That same God that he talked about is the same one that walked out on that battlefield with David, that guided that stone, that took Goliath down. Jesus wants to do that for each one of us. It is the same God. But you can't just knock Goliath down, because he will get back up. Those things in your life that you've knocked down, it will get back up. What did David do to Goliath? Chopped his head off. You're not getting up after that. You're just not. Denim, you've got to chop the head off of it. No more. No more. You make that decision and you chop it clean. You chop it clean. It's not because of the power you have, it's because of who is you belong to. It's that power through the Christ Jesus. Now, we as leaders of this of encounter, we're not through growing. The Lord is so good about tweaking things. The last semester we went through, it was awful for me. I am not kidding you. It was terrible. Everybody, oh my God, the Lord is so good. I'm going, dude, I don't know what God you're talking about, but he is tearing me up. But I realize it's because he's tweaking me. Because he wanted me to go a different direction. He wanted me to do something else that fit my gifts, talents, and abilities better. Wow, isn't that great? Than to be doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, but you think because in your mind it makes sense to do? Yeah. It's that peace that passes all understanding, knowing that you're doing what is pleasing to the Lord and the purpose that he put you here to do that. Isn't that cool? And that's for each one of us. Now, having said all that, we have a young woman in our class. Well, actually, one of our leaders, Karen Green, come up here. This young woman is a fantastic young lady of the Lord. You ladies at her table, I'm telling you, all of our ladies, every one of our team, but you could be very proud of her. It's been an honor and a privilege to see her really be broken, but she chose to allow God. She surrendered to him. We all must continue to grow, and she's going to share something that the Lord revealed to her, but really is for all of us. Karen, come on up here.
Okay, so I'm going to read most of this. So I just wanted to share about a dream I had the other night and what the Lord showed me about it. I was going on a trip and got to security at the airport. When I first saw myself in the dream, I didn't have anything that wouldn't pass the security check. But then after I went through, I got stopped and they showed me my little bucket or tray that you put all your stuff in. And I had all these condiments in it. And I remember looking and thinking, why do I have all these food condiments? I don't need these on my trip. And I knew that they were over the limit of what could be brought on the plane. But even though I knew I didn't need them, I got angry when security told me that I had to discard them if I wanted to get on the plane. As I thought about this dream from the Lord began to speak to my spirit and remind me that even though I'm a leader in encounter, and this is my third time to start this process, there are still things that I have brought to the airport that could prevent me from reaching my destination if I allow it. See, the condiments are some things that I hold dear to myself and how I like things. The way I like my food and the condiments I like are a part of who I am. But in reality, if I hold too tightly to these things and refuse to release them, I can't get on the plane. A plane is a device that moves us rapidly from a starting point to our desired destination, which is exactly what encounter is for our spiritual walk. But whether or not you actually surrender to the process, let go of those condiments that represent your identity, character traits, and comfort zones, is what will determine whether or not you actually get on that plane. See, we show up expecting to board a plane and start a process to move closer to God, not knowing that we have brought along these condiments that can't go with us. And then when we realize they are there, we want to keep them because, let's be honest, everything is better with condiments. But in reality, condiments don't change our food. They mask, add to, and often are unhealthy added calories that we don't need. And if God is so patient, so kind, and so loving to continue to work on me on my third round of encounter, he will be just as patient, kind, and loving to each of you and to show you what is keeping you grounded. And after three rounds of such powerful teaching, if I still have more to learn, we all can encounter God more. We all have more of our flesh to lay down and more of the likeness of God to put on. I encourage each of you to surrender the things that you think define who you are and embrace your identity in Christ so that you can get out of that airport and board the plane God has prepared for you. So my question for each of you is this: what condiments are you holding on to that will keep you from getting on the plane to take you to your encounter with God? And are you ready to let go and let God work in your life this semester?
Enough said. Enough said. The Lord is so good, and we don't even understand it. What is going to keep you from getting on that plane and going where you need to go that the Lord has for you? What is keeping you? The Lord is already revealing to some folks in here what it is. What you need to let go, what you need to let the airport security have, because it's not worth missing your trip. You can stay at the airport if you want to, but you're never going to experience the fullness of where your destination is. Does that make sense? I need each and every one of y'all to do something. This week, we have a lot of empty chairs in here, and for whatever reason, those people hadn't been able to come. But one of the things I believe is if you pray, if you minister to others, it helps you. So during your quiet time that we're going to have this week, each one of us, remember in the teaching, that intimate time that you have with the Lord, I want you to pray for these empty chairs. We're not worried about the numbers. It's quality, not quantity. We want everyone to have the same opportunity as we do to become who God wants us to be. Isn't that it? That is it, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody good? Everybody good? Well, guess what? It's only going to get better. Now, let me give you a little warning. Satan himself understands what encounter is. He's been here four times. This is his fourth time to come. Unfortunately, he has snatched a few people and pulled them back. And it's sad. Sad. Because they couldn't get out of the airport. They refused to let them condiments go. I hate that. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is fixing to unleash hell on you. Be prepared. And that's okay. Because you're going to get through it. Galatians 6:9. While doing good works, don't you quit, don't you give up, for in due season you will prevail, lest ye faint not. You understand? Nobody's quitting, nobody's stopping, everybody's going to push forward for the prize that God has for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless every one of you. We're just thankful that you're here, and you're with us growing just like we are. Okay? Thank you for coming. I know my wife has something of great importance to say. My lovely wife.
Before we leave tonight, what I'd like for us to do as the media team plays some music is, as you sit at your table, can we just spend time with the Lord and just pray for the Lord to help us lay down those condiments, because we all want to get to the destination that God has for us. Can we just do that? I'm gonna start us in prayer, and you just spend some time with the Lord. If you want your table host to pray with you over something, they can do that as well. But Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, and thank you so much for loving us as beautifully as you do. God, your love is so tangible tonight. We have felt your presence. God, we've heard your words. And God, right now we want to lay down those things that could hinder us from reaching the destination that you have for us. continue to pray to God right now. Lay it down at His feet.